announced the Ptira of Mrs. Marsha Holzer as the mother of the Tova Reich. And the vial will take place this afternoon at 2 o'clock in Congregation Based Torah. That's in Safran, and the voice one went out, and then we have more details of the Shiva. We'll send them out as well. The Levi will take place in Eretz Yisrael. The Holzer and the Reich family is better than any further tzar.
There was a young man who was appointed to escort Rabbi Shul Leib Diskin to shul in the morning in his older years. The Maharal Diskin, of course, one of the Gedolei Eretz Yisrael, Rav of Yerushalayim. And he said one morning he found Rabbi Shul Leib. He would greet him every morning by his door. He found Rabbi Shul Leib. He walked out the door of his palace and tefillin in his hand. And instead of making his way down the street towards the shul, which was down below, he started climbing a staircase alongside his home. One of these Eretz Yisrael staircases. And it was difficult. He was an elderly person. Maharal Diskin was not a young person at the time. He passed away in 1898. We're talking about the late 1800s. And he started climbing the staircase step by step by step by step by step. And finally gets to the top of the staircase, and the young man's not sure if he should follow. He's kind of standing down below. And when he sees Rabbi Shul Leib at the top of the staircase, he sees like he's looking for something. He's looking in the distance. He's trying to see something. And after a couple of minutes, Rabbi Shul Leib comes back down. And the young man is just so curious. He says, Rabbi, what are you looking for? So Rabbi Shul Leib said an unbelievable thing. He said, we know that the first two Batei Mikdash were man-made. A big discussion in Halacha exactly how and when one can build the Beit HaMikdash. The Pashto says it can only be built by day. He said, but according to many Rishonim, the third Beit HaMikdash is going to descend from Shemaim in a fire, in a heavenly fire. And he said, and according to that opinion, it's possible that the Beit HaMikdash could be built even in the darkness of night. So Rabbi Shul Leib said, I got up this morning, and I was just curious. I wanted to see. Maybe overnight, the Beit HaMikdash was built. So I went out and I climbed that staircase. It's difficult for me to climb the staircase, but I climbed the staircase because I wanted to see. I was looking in the direction of the Beit HaMikdash to see if maybe the Beit HaMikdash came down last night. And then Rabbi Shul Leib said to his Talmud with tears in his eyes, in such a real and sincere way, it didn't. It didn't. And we went to sleep last night, whether we realize this or not, it's possible to wake up to a Beit HaMikdash. For a tzaddik, for a zakin of Yerushalayim, one of the gedolim of his time, it was a mitzvah. He would wake up in the morning, he would look in the direction of the Beit HaMikdash and see, maybe it came down last night. And he just shook his head to his Talmud and he said, it didn't. And with his talis and tefillin in his hand, he went to shul to daven. Maybe if we daven a little more, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us a Beis HaMikdash. Last night we began the process of mourning the Korban. And of course, we begin with an appropriate question. The way that a mourner begins the process of mourning, not really sure what to do, but with just an Eicha, like, how could this be? Why? We don't understand what's going on. That's how we begin Tisha B'Av. There's not a lot to say. We're not even sure what we're allowed to say. And we just kind of blurt out this cry, this why is this happening again? How is this happening again? Eicha. But I think when you come to the morning of Tisha B'Av, and we start to go through the kinos, I remember a line that Rav Mendel Blachman Shlita shared in our neighborhood last year. He said, a kinos is not supposed to be a recitation a morning spent of a recitation of medieval poetry. Because that's what keynotes are if you don't know what we're talking about. He said, when you daven Shmona Esrei, even if you don't really know what you're saying, you're tapping into the words of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. There's an inherent Kedusha. There's a degree of Ruach HaKodesh, like the Chacham Sofer and the Nefesh HaChaim said about Shmona Esrei. It was written in a very deep way. And while the tzaddikim who wrote the keynotes were also very great tzaddikim, and also in a certain sense divinely inspired, but the goal is that it's supposed to arouse the feeling. That it's supposed to chart sort of a mission statement for us. And therefore, in a certain sense, I think if last night the question was why, Eicha, how, why, the raw shock of not really knowing what to do with the feelings, so I think the morning of Tisha B'Av we begin a little bit, we're still grappling with the why, but we start to ask a little bit the what. What are we supposed to do now? The Beis Hamikdash didn't come down last night. You walked out this morning, you looked off into the distance, we didn't hear the shofar, we didn't see the mikdash. We didn't get the text message yet from Eretz Yisrael. It's here, it's happening. So the question is, what are we supposed to do now? Because the why, again, it's appropriate for a period of time, but the why doesn't really get you anywhere. Yes, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why this, why that? It's a way of sort of shirking our responsibility. Instead of saying, what am I actually going to do to try to change things a little bit? Primo Levi, a Holocaust survivor, had a very tragic life. He died in 1987. Probably more accurately, he killed himself in 1987. Most believed it was a suicide. And he wrote a book in 1947 called Survival in Auschwitz. Survival in Auschwitz, it's true, he survived Auschwitz. Physically, he survived Auschwitz. He was a broken person. Mamash, a broken person. So much so that when he killed himself, when he died in 1987, Elie Wiesel said about him, he said, Primo Levi died at Auschwitz 40 years later. It's a very deep statement. Even though he was far from Auschwitz, in a certain sense, he died in Auschwitz. And he described what it was like when he first came to Auschwitz, hungry, thirsty, and just numb, sort of the feeling that we have a little bit this morning. And he writes as follows in his book, This is hell. Today in our times, hell must be like this. A huge empty room. We are tired, standing on our feet, with a tap which drips while we cannot drink the water. So the Nazis were tormenting them. There was this spout that was dripping water. The Nazis told them it's contaminated, you can't drink from it. And they're standing there, they're so thirsty. So we wait for something which will certainly be terrible, and nothing happens and nothing continues to happen. And then he writes, and this is the line that I was thinking about. What can one think about? I mean, what are we supposed to be thinking about? We want to ask the what. So now what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What are we supposed to do now? What can one think about? We're so numb. One cannot think anymore. It's like being already dead. Someone sits down on the ground, and the time passes drop by drop. And essentially what he's saying is that if we don't know what we're supposed to be feeling, or what we're supposed to be thinking, time can move very slowly, painfully slowly, and I think that's part of our reality on Tisha B'Av. Part of the reason that it's become more popular, if you could say such a word, to spend so much time trying to expound the keynotes and trying to understand the keynotes, is that to just sit around, you know, not just eicha, like, why are we doing this again, doesn't really get us anywhere. And therefore, he says it's hard to think, it's difficult to think, we feel dead, we sit on the ground, time passes drop by drop, we're not really sure what to do, but again, the avoda is to stop and to think. That's the avoda sayom, to sit down and to start asking ourselves, what are we going to do to make things different? To move past the why and into the world of the what. A couple of pages later, he writes in Survival in Auschwitz on page 29. Driven by thirst, that I eyed a fine icicle outside the window within hand's reach. I opened the window and broke off the icicle, but at once a large, heavy guard prowling outside brutally snatched away from me. Warum, I asked him in my poor German. Why? Why? Like, what's your problem? Like, why can't I have an icicle? And the German responded to me, I don't speak German, but he said, Heir ist kein Warum. Here there is no why. You don't ask why in Auschwitz. There's no why here. Pushing me inside with a shove. A Jew doesn't solve suffering by just saying why, why. A Jew has to respond. A Jew has to try to make something of the suffering, make something purposeful of the suffering, not just to throw up our hands and to say why. And this is in fact what Rav Soloveitchik described in the beginning of his Kol Dodi Dofek. When the Rav spoke, again, his magnificent language about what it means to suffer like a Jew. In the realm of destiny, man recognized reality as it is. Rav Soloveitchik said, our job is not to pretend that there's no evil in the world. It is not desire to use harmonizing formulas in order to hide and disregard evil. The child of destiny is very realistic. It does not flinch in anticipation of a face-to-face confrontation with evil. His approach is halachic and moral, and thus devoid of any metaphysical speculative nuance. I mean, the Rav said, if you're just going to sit here and like philosophize about why does Hashem, if you love us so much, so why do we suffer so much? It has a place. It's a good question. We all understand the question. We all feel that question. But Rav Soloveitchik said, as a halachic person, you have to ask halacha lemaisa. So what am I supposed to do? When the child of destiny suffers, he says in his heart, there is evil. I do not deny it. And I will not conceal it with fruitless casuistry. I'm not going to try to ignore it. I am, however, interested in it from a halachic view. And as a person who wants to know what action to take, I therefore ask a single question. What should the sufferer do to live with his suffering? What are we supposed to make of the suffering? In this dimension, the emphasis is removed from casual and teleological considerations and is directed to the realm of action. The problem is now formulated in the language of a simple halacha and revolves around a Quixotian task. The question of questions is, what does suffering obligate man to do? That's the question we have to ask today. Hashem gives us rishus to ask Eicha. We continue to ask Eicha through the kinos. There's a lot of whys. And it's not so easy to move past the why. But like the Nazi Machshavim said to Primo Levi in the concentration camp, in certain places the why is not, there's no why here. We can't ask why. The question is, what should we do to live with our suffering? That's the question of questions, says Rav Soloveitchik. And again, the avoda therefore becomes to not solve anything per se today. I'm not going to have all the answers when you walk out of a Tisha B'Av. If we did, we would have put an end to this a long time ago. The goal is to stop and to think and to identify the problems, to consider the solutions. It was a tzaddik in Eretz Yisrael. His farm became a little bit popular after his passing. His name is a little bit more well known, although still not so well known, Rabbi Menachem Froman. One of his children put out a sefer of some of his teachings. He was a deep person, complicated person. And he writes in a sefer, it's called Chassidim Soichim Mizeh. He writes, Limud Torah HaRagil Shol Talmud HaBavli. He says, regular Torah, regular Gemara, person learns a sugya. Hu lish'ol she'elos v'la'anos aleihem. The goal of learning Gemara is to solve the problems. You raise a question, and then you bring a proof, and then the proof is challenged, and you bring another proof, and then you hear a different opinion, or Rish Lakish says like this, or Rabbi Yochanan says like that, and we go back and forth. Right? And once in a while we get stuck on a teiku, but more often than not, the goal is to come to a resolution. Right? The Hilchasa, sometimes the Gemara says explicitly. He said, that's the world of Talmud Bavli, that's regular Torah study. Today we don't engage in regular Torah study. L'shitas HaYerushalmi, interestingly enough, the Yerushalmi is a lot more complicated, the language is more terse, the writing of the Yerushalmi is less refined. It's harder sometimes to find the answers when you study the Talmud Yerushalmi. But the Talmud Yerushalmi says the Torah is Eretz Yisrael, it's Torah Shel Mashiach. And he said a person who understands the Torah of Eretz Yisrael and understands the Torah of Mashiach, Avodas Halimud Hi Lishol She'elos V'lav Dafka La'anos Aleihem. The Talmud Yerushalmi doesn't always have all the answers. An Eretz Yisrael perspective means being able to ask the questions, but being able to go weiter without the answers. Probably anyone who we've ever met, who picked up, who was born in America or anywhere else in Chutz La'aretz, moved to Eretz Yisrael. You go to Eretz Yisrael with questions. Very few people make Aliyah with a sense of absolute clarity how this is going to work out. But you know what? I know the challenges, and I'm going to do it anyways. Because I know this is a move in the right direction. And that's the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. That's the Torah of Mashiach. That's what we're working on today. To try to raise the questions, not necessarily to solve the whys, the big whys. But again, to have a little bit of a gula mindset. To at least say, you know what, I'm gonna raise the questions. I'm going to try to think about what I can do to maybe help, to maybe change things a little bit. And stopping to think is what the enemies of Klal Yisrael are trying to stop us from doing. The world is so fast today. Everything's so fast. How often do we stop and think? When do we sit down, just like, you know, quietly, like this, and just think a little bit, and stop a little bit, and contemplate a little bit? We're so numb from just the pace of life that we never stop to go on to that mountaintop and just look in the direction to see maybe the Beit HaMikdash came down, like maybe I didn't even realize it. Maybe things are happening all around me. Maybe Geula is unfolding and I'm just too busy with my work or my pleasure, and I'm not paying attention. I want to read together a piece from the Medrash in Eicha. It's towards the very end of the Medrash in Eicha, and the words Yaganu v'lohu nachlanu. Yaganu v'lohu nachlanu. We toiled, but we were left with nothing. Listen to the words of the Medrash. And listen to how our enemies, Yimach Shemam, understand the danger of us actually stopping, sitting down, and thinking about what we can do. Nebuchadnezzar shchik atzamos, says the Medrash. Nebuchadnezzar, may his bones rot. Tziva l'Nebuzradan, he commanded his commander-in-chief, Nebuzradan. V'amar lei ala hahon di'inon makabo balei tshuvahu. The God of the Jewish people accepts balei tshuva. The God of the Jewish people is moved when the Jewish people are inspired to change. V'yadav pshuta l'kabel shavim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is outstretched to receive those who want to return. So when you conquer them, be very careful. Lo tishbakinon diyitzalon, don't allow them to daven. Lo ya'avdun tiyuvta, that they shouldn't make changes in their life, that they shouldn't do tshuva. Keep them so busy that they never have time to think. V'la'ahon yirachim aleyon, because God forbid if they daven and do tshuva, their God will protect them. V'ahu gavra, and that person, meaning you, Nebuzradan, Nachas b'shchor apin, you'll come back to me black in the face from failing to carry out the mission of destroying the Jews, of defeating the Jews. Elalor tehei mefale aleihon, don't underestimate them. So what did Nebuzradan do? The Rasha that he was. Kevan d'chavash yaton, when he conquered Klal Yisrael, when he was destroying the Jewish people, tarabekotim chad min hom, if he would see a Jew, he would stop. If a Jew sat down, like we're doing today, he would come over to him and he would chop him down. He would kill him on the spot. And he would chop him up, evar me'evar, dividing up his pieces, his limbs of his body. Treflei komehon, and he would take those pieces and he would scatter them about. Ve'inun mahalchin balkarcheon. And Klal Yisrael was forced to schlep on balkarchach, against their will. The enemy just said, keep going weiter, don't stop, don't think. Don't, God forbid, take a moment to daven over this, or to do tshuva over this. And therefore, mahalchin bal karcheyon shalo b'tovasom. We were pushed on against their will in a way that was not helpful for us. And therefore, the response, the victory, on a day like Tisha B'Av, is saying we're not just gonna race through the kinos. We're not just gonna get this over with. We're gonna acknowledge this is an age-old technique that our enemies have used against us. From Paro, keeping us busy in Mitzrayim, the root of all gullus, never having a moment to think, then it sifts as an unbelievable thing. When did Klal Yisrael finally wake up in Mitzrayim and decide to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Pesukim in Shmuel say it was during those terrible days when Yamas Melech Mitzrayim, the king of Mitzrayim, died. And what happened when the king of Mitzrayim died? Klal Yisrael cried out, Ve'anchu b'nei Yisrael, menav odo. All of a sudden we start to cry. Why are we crying now? So Rashi says maybe Paro didn't really die. He had tzaras, and he was bathing in Jewish baby's blood, and that's why we were crying. Other Rishonim say maybe we were crying to pretend that we were sad that Paro was dead, even though really we were so happy. It is Siv from Volozhin has a penetrating psychological insight. Mehmet Zeller. He says, you know why the Jews were crying? Listen to what happened for the first time in a really, really long time in Mitzrayim. V'ha'ya ba'osa yom yom menucha min avoda kedarach hamelucha. What happens when the king dies? Everything shuts down. The government shuts down. There was no work that day. The banks were closed. The post office was closed. It was a national day of mourning. So for the first time in a really long time, the Jews didn't have to go to work. It was a Sunday, like today, a day off. Shayu kol sarei paro trudim be'espedo. And everyone in Mitzrayim was so busy taking care of being maspid paro. And therefore, even Avadov HaYivrim, even the Jewish slaves, also had a day off. And you know what happened when the Jews stopped? When they took a break from building pyramids or whatever else they were doing in Mitzrayim? From the Avodah Kasha, the Avodah Parach. You know when they were able to emerge a little bit from their own Kaved Lev? Not just the hardening of the heart of Paro, but the Klal Yisrael who had been so trampled for so long. Well, all of a sudden they stopped, they had a day off, and they said, whoa, hold on a second, what's going on here? How did we, the family of Yaakov, the distinguished family of Yaakov, become the slaves, the lowest of the world? How did that happen? And for the first time in a really long time, Klal Yisrael asked the question. They started to cry out. For the first time in a really long time, they never had time to think. They couldn't contemplate their own fate. They finally had a chance to think, wait a minute, what's the end plan here? How are we going to get out of this? What are we going to do to break the cycle of slavery in Mitzrayim? Is this going to go on forever? And when Klal Yisrael finally cried out, all of a sudden, she says, oh, Shkoyach, you finally woke up. You finally said, what's going on here? I'm sure they asked the why many times before. But they were starting to ask, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do to contact the Kodesh Baruch Hu, to get in touch with Hashem and say, we're not okay with this. We'd like to do something to make a change. This was the technique that Paro used against us. This is the technique that Nebuchadnezzar used against us. And this is how we begin this morning's kinos. The first words of the kinos. Shavas. What does Shavas mean? Shavas through many. It's based on the fifth parak of Eicha, Shavas misos libenu, the joy of our heart is gone. They say every year, I like Archfield's translation of Shavas. Archfield's translation, Shavas, it came to a standstill. It was sort of the recognition that the Beit HaMikdash was gone, the Chorban was taking place, and everything kind of just stopped. Everything that was so busy finally stopped. And that's what we're trying to do today. We're trying to just slow life down just a little bit, to think, and to reflect, and to move a little bit from that world of the why, of the Eicha, into the world of the what. And to allow ourselves not to be overwhelmed by the enemies who just push us on. Whether it's a malicious enemy, or whether it's just the flow of life, which sometimes can become an enemy to Klal Yisrael. Rav Aaron of Belz, when he was running during the war, found himself on various trains, escaping amazing stories about the Belzer Rebbe, the fourth Belzer Rebbe of Arla, and his escape from Nazi Germany, made it to Eretz Yisrael eventually, February 1944. At one point he was traveling by train, undercover. Some Jews knew who he was. He was high up on the Nazi hit list. The Wonder Rabbi, as they called him. And the Jews were allowed to take a couple possessions, whatever they could take, a few personal items on the train. People took some clothing, some money, some pictures, photo albums, whatever it was, different people took a little something, whatever they were allowed to take. And Rav Aral had a little chair, a little stool, maybe similar to, probably not like the beach chairs, maybe more like a little wooden stool. And that's what he took, that's what he chose to take. And every time throughout the journeys, whenever he could, whenever the train stopped, and they were unpacked, those Jews were sandwiched in like sardines, when he had just a couple of minutes to get off the train from one stop to the next, he would get off the train with his little stool, his little chair, and Aaron would sit down for a minute on the chair, on the little stool. He would just sit, contemplating, thinking, just sitting. I told you, the Nazis called him the Wonder Rebbe. He was a wondrous person. Rav Aaron had very unusual hanhagos. Rabbis have interesting hanhagos, nowadays sometimes. But some of the chassidim said, Rabbi, what's with the stool? What's with the little chair? And he said, quoting from the Hoshanas, Hoshana nefesh mi ba'ala Hoshana. One of the Hoshanas we say, Hoshana, Kadosh Baruch Hu, save us from nefesh ba'ala. Don't allow me to be a person who's always mibulbal, who's always in a state of ba'ala, who's always rushing, who's always running. Vayivhilu lahavi at Haman. And when things start to turn bad for Haman, when all of a sudden he's being shuffled around, you know, Haman, your end is near. We daven, Hoshana, Hashem, save us from just getting all getting crazy, from not being able to stop and to think. Rav LeBelzer, the Hirtadim Kadosh L'Racha, said to the Hasidim, he said, when a Jew is running from the Nazis, when a Jew is running from his enemies, he still has to know how to stop and to sit down and to think. And therefore more important than a photo album or an extra change of clothing or a little extra food or even a safer. Rav Arla took his little stool with him from one stop to the next, and whenever he had the opportunity, he sat down just to maintain his composure. Hoshana mi nefesh mibal. Hashem, help me to not mi bubal. So Hashem should help us over the next couple of hours as we sit here together, davening together, learning together, thinking together, stopping together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us not just to walk out of this day with another heartfelt Eicha, why is this happening again? How could this be? All the greater philosophical questions. Rav Soloveitchik said that's not how a Jew suffers, it doesn't get us anywhere. The goal is to ask, what can we do about it? What can we do to improve ourselves? How can we daven and do tshuva in a way, like Nebuchadnezzar was so afraid, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is stretched out to bring us back. And Eretz Hashem, if we could just take some time, not even communally like this, maybe just a couple of minutes over the course of the entire day, just by yourself in a corner, on the ground or with a little stool like Rav Arla Belzer, just stopping to think and asking ourselves, an honest cheshbon nefesh, what am I going to do? What? Not why. But what am I going to do to make things differently? To make sure that the reality can change. And that Eretz Hashem, the day of Galus, can be transformed into a day of Gula. Shabbat Surmani
mentioned the Vishalvechik, the Rav. I'm going to focus on a comment the Rav made in the upcoming Kina. It's important also to remember, to remind ourselves, that the observance of Tisha B'Av was transformed by Rosh Halvachim. That before the Rav observed Tisha B'Av in Boston, so Tisha B'Av was Jews getting together much as we are getting together now. It was saying the kinos, it was a weekday, and people would say kinos maybe for 45 minutes, an hour. It was a Sunday, maybe for an hour and a half. But it was reading the kinos. And it was without any English translation, there were no art scrolls. And it was a white pamphlet, because the minhag then it was never to publish kinos. Because we always hoped that the kinos would be used another year. And then sometime in the 70s, so the minhag changed. But it was, as far as I recall, it was the Rav and then his Talmidim that changed the observance of Tisha B'Av to be a morning that people would actually focus and discuss the kinos. First in the, probably in onset, in the, when the Rav was away, and then in Boston. And always impressive when you see how one person can impact Klal Yisrael. And I think it was heavily coming from what Rosh Hashanah was speaking about, that the pressures of during the week of having to get to work just didn't give Jews the chance to say the kinos with any understanding. And the difficulty of the words and the phrases and all of the illusions. So people just read through it very, very quickly. And I think it's also impressive that the confidence that the Rav had, that he would begin at 8 o'clock, he would usually finish around 4 o'clock, even in his older years, because he would explain it line by line. But the confidence that he had that Klal Yisrael can connect with the text of Lozer Kalir if they're explained. And that confidence, both in Klal Yisrael, as well as in the great Chachmei Vesover, and that the two can be connected. I once saw this when the Rav came to Shir once, and he said one of his Talmidim called up and asked the Rav whether he could change the minhag of the shul. The minhag of the shul was to say all of the yotros and all the various shavosos. And the Rav said, no, you can't change the minhag of the shul. Your job is to explain the yotros. And that confidence in what we call the Mesorah, the Chachmei Mesorah, and the receivers of the Mesorah. So that was one of the great gifts that the Rav left us with, and it's in the day of Tisha B'Av, the fact that all over the world now, people are explaining kinos. That began with Soloveitchik in Boston. So he focused on one of the phrases he focused on in an upcoming kino. The second paragraph, it says, the third paragraph, the next kino begins with the phrase, how could the Peshbaruch pressure us with his anger? How could this happen? How could there be such chaos? How could the Peshbaruch would not recall all of the rich relationship that Klal Yisrael and Peshbaruch have? And one of the phrases that describes that relationship is Vesek Viyud. Vesek Veses, Viyud is we come together. Veses, we come together at certain set times. Vesek probably comes from the word Vesekin. We come together with excitement, with Zrizus together. Asher bi'ata leviudecha, that you appointed to meet with those with whom you meet. The Rav explained that this is one of the chidushim, one of the great insights of the Torah. I would not have the breadth of knowledge of other religions to say this. But the Rav said this is one of the contributions of, and one of the unique aspects of the Torah, that Kadosh Baruch Hu in Klal Yisrael, that God and his worshippers spend time together. In other words, that in other religions, the idea is that worshippers worship, worshippers pray, worshippers serve, and God responds. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, we do it differently. We do worship, we do observe, we do daven. Kadosh Baruch Hu responds. But there's another element to our relationship, and that is that we spend time together. Kadosh Baruch Hu called us together just to be believing in the same precincts. That's what the Mikdash Shechati Besocha. And that apparently was, that was an innovation of Kadosh Baruch Hu when he gave the Torah to us. The Rav called it a rendezvous. The Rav explained that this line gives meaning, it gives an ability for us to understand what that rendezvous means. It means that there is an intimate time when it's just a Kadosh Baruch Hu and the individual. And it's a unique time when it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. So that idea that every person can have unique moments with the Ribbono Shel Olam, that our only he could capture his neshama, who he is, where he's at. So that Kadosh Baruch Hu is mechadesh for us. I think the first time that we see it very clearly is at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, where Torah says Vayera l'Avram, but it doesn't tell us what happened in that meeting. Ramban says it was Avram Avinu just under Bris Milah, and the greatest moment, the greatest gift that a human being can have, that the Baruch Hu should spend time with them. So Vayir L'Avram was the schar for the Bris Milah, after the Bris was made. So apparently that moment is the moment that then shaped or gave us insight into the principle of Beis HaMikdash. Loi Zachar, how could it be that you would not recall that great chiddush, that great insight that you gave the entire world through us, but that which makes us unique and different. Viyud Vesek Vesas, that we get together at a designed point in time, that we can get together, whether it's come to Mikdash for the Yom Tovim, let's come to Mikdash for a Korban, sometimes it's with all Klal Yisrael, it's Korban Pesach, it's Aliyah L'Regel, and sometimes it's with my Korban Chatz. With the Mayan Korban Vesek, and even though it's been a certain period of time, nevertheless, it's done with, that does not dampen the excitement that Klal Yisrael has, that an individual has when it comes to Makom HaMikdash. The idea is shaped a little bit further in the next paragraph, L'Zachar Tachitun Chukei Chayrev, Asher Chakakun L'Chamulecha. That you don't remember that we're chosen and talent. It's all part of the same idea, the chiddush, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the innovation of the Ribbono Shel Olam's Torah to us. That we can describe our relationship as those who enjoy spending time together, and those that are bonded by a marital relationship. That's right at the beginning of the kinos. So Talir goes to the heart of what has to be in our minds, the heart of what we have is their unpin. We have these moments during our davening. We have these moments, times of great simcha. We turn to Kadosh Baruch Hu when we share it. We have these moments, times of great tzar. But we had a Beis HaMikdash. And it wouldn't be a fleeting moment they're able to catch. It would be viyud vesek vesek. There'd be moments that would be on the schedule, on the calendar, when Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael spend time together. If I have to be a pechol, I have to be a duvim, as a chayt of mitzvah made of sorrow. Should be granted with one there, and the king of 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 the king of
Stay away from it, and I know what is
and Bechi that's appropriate. I'll know to make a Bechi Kigover Oyev, and I'll know at the same time to cry that all of those moments when the enemy overpowers us are also moments of distance from the Rebbe Mishlam. Adin Chutzur Mayim Avli Tishur Mayim Oyev Shmita Mayim Asayim Yifushim Mayim Mishim Shukim Chadu Lepi 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 Lepi
Kina number Tess. It refers to the first pasuk of the second parak of Yirmiyahu, that Hashem Baruch Hu threw down to Eretz Yisrael, the glory of Klal Yisrael. Echos of Artim Rishos Yishlichu. How could it be that God threw down the glory that we have, and for that reason we're not wearing tefillin now, because the tefillin are considered to be our pe'er. And we postpone the mitzvah of tefillin in order that we should remind ourselves that we've lost our pe'er. So this kina gives us some description of what tiferes means. Tiferes we translated in glory, but it's a difficult phrase to appreciate. So we go to the parts of this kina. The first, the running theme of the kina is that there was a Bishvach at the beginning of B'chuk Kosai gave us avtachos, and if we observe the mitzvahs properly, he'll give us brachos. And every paragraph ends with that things happened in place of getting those brachos. The non in B'chuk Kosai Teilecho. Bishvach forgot that we're supposed to have this bracha. Or Tavur, we got this in place of the bracha. Tachas instead. So, first part of our glory, about the first, we have a bris of the Kodesh Baruch. Then, the Titan says, Upondim Istir me hem kishar abososon. Kodesh Baruch Hu hid his face from us, Hetzer Pondim, when we twisted, we were metalkos a bit. We didn't act properly, and when it comes to din, when we didn't act properly in dealing with other people, didn't act properly in dealing with the courts and what the Shabbat expects of us. Our system of justice, our system of Yashus, when we observe it properly, that's our Tiferes. And then, later on in the Pious and the Kina, so the Goyim say to us, where is that rock of your salvation? They say to us, that's the strength that you had. So part of our Tiferes is that Kadosh Baruch Hu protects us time and time again. And as so often is recorded, the idea of the Abbas, that Yaakov Emden, that as time goes on, and as much as Klal Yisrael has to put up with, our survival itself becomes a testament to Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence. And then the Pesach refers to that we have been tuak kishoshana, taken like a lily amongst the thorns. I think that's the fourth aspect of Tiferes. Tiferes is we have a bris with Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tiferes is we have Kadosh Baruch Hu's sense of justice and of his wisdom. Kadosh Baruch Hu protects us, and Kadosh Baruch Hu has chosen us. It's possible that this relates to the four parshas in Tefillin. That's what the Tefillin are pair. That the Goyim Shemoa is the bris we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That there is a that we can observe. We do mitzvahs, do not an initial Kadosh Baruch Hu provides for us. The first paragraph of Shema is our commitment to learning. That's an appreciation of the wisdom of the din, of the yashas Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us. The third parak that's in our tefillin, the fourth parak that's in our tefillin, is the parak of the parasha of Bechor. Bechor speaks to Kadosh Baruch Hu protecting us. The reason we have the mitzvahs of Bechor is Kadosh Baruch Hu protected our Bechor in Mitzrayim. And the third parak of Shema, Zechor, is Yom Hashetzeichem in Mitzrayim and Zechiras Yisrael. So that's why in a morning like this we have to put our Tiferes aside. Perhaps the Skina of Loza Kalir explains to us this difficult word of Tiferes, what we've lost, and why Yirmiyahu refers to the Eishet of Arti Mishra Sushil.
Show them he leaves him before he leaves, and he takes him with him every time he's going. 10 o'clock, there'll be a minyan downstairs in the social hall for those who have to get home and check on their families, and that will finish up the kinos in the social hall, and then Mr. Shem will remember every 45 minutes to an hour to have another exit minyan. The next kino, one of the paragraphs, our enemies mocked us. The Lechem Elechem for those who battled for bread. And the Chazal used the phrase, from Yishlom HaMelech, used the phrase, Lechu Lechem U'Belachmi, that that's referring to the bread of Klal Yisrael, the Torah, and Lechem Elechem, the Talmid Chachamim, and those who battle in the Melchamet Shel Torah, even as the same church. And it's based on the Gemara and Shabbos that Lechorva Yerushalayim Ilu Bishvil Shevdizu Bo Talmidei Chachamim, that Talmidei Chachamim didn't get the Chachamim they were supposed to get, that they mocked Talmidei Chachamim. Kibitlo Aloi Perois Lerav Lechem, and we did away with that we're supposed to give to the hungry bread, that's real bread. And then they became starving. They became starved of wanting the bread. As if we didn't bring the loaves of bread on Shavuos in the Beis HaMikdash. I think what the Loza Clear is pointing to is that when there was a time when Klal Yisrael didn't give the appropriate respect to those who were teaching Torah, those who are trying to understand Torah, those who are applying Torah, those who are making Torah relevant, those who are Lechem Elechem, those who are engaged in the battle of Torah to understand it and to be able to apply it. So that means when the Talmidei Chacham are not getting their due kavod, it means the Klal Yisrael isn't giving the due kavod to the observance of Torah. into the depth of the understanding of Torah, the appreciation of Torah. And the Talmid Chacham is to be supported. And by supporting the Talmid Chacham, one has the zechus of being masik, of mechazek Torah. So this paragraph is saying that Kibit Lulei Forot, the Rebbe Chacham, Klal Yisrael didn't support the Talmid Chachamim, so they did not take pride in the Talmid Chachamim. And it means they didn't take pride and weren't interested as they should have been, in the teaching of the Chochmas Torah. And Lozai Kalir says that that is apparently what's represented why in Shavuos we bring Shtei Lechem. We bring a Mincha Kadosha. Apparently, Kalir understood me when he thought about the Shtei Lechem and Shavuos, understood that that was a Kadosh Baruch Hu teaching Klal Yisrael that you have to provide Lechem for the Lechem Elechem. And by Klal Yisrael providing the Parnasa for those who are dedicating their lives and sometimes in great dachkos to the study of Torah, then that's what glues Klal Yisrael to the Chachmei Torah, and that's what expresses our appreciation to the Chachmei Torah. The Kalir begins the phrase by saying, "Vayu oivim al even v'loich melechem," that we come to realize when we don't give due appreciation to our Torah and our Mesorah and our Chochmas of the kids, when we see it, when the non-Jews make deride it. In other words, what Kalim is saying is that it all begins with us. When Klal Yisrael gives due covenant to our Torah, so then the nations of the world will respect it as well. Sometimes I don't think it's logical, because what we have to be mechabit is more often countercultural, more often something does not play well in the streets. But Kalir explains to us that we have the confidence of the lesson of the lech, of the Shtei Alechem, that all begins with Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael appreciates the uniqueness of our Torah. Klal Yisrael appreciates the chokhmah and the gifts that we have. And then it spreads further, and even if we're not able to prevail upon the people around us, but the fact that we are giving it coven apparently is an impact, and that way we earn the respect of the people around us as well.
Thank you. Next kina is a kina based on Yirmiyahu's kina that he said over the death of Yeshua HaMelech. We just finished a kina that spoke about the Shevet Levi, the Kohenim, Tisekoy Yishmer Das, that expressed those who are responsible for not only the service of Beis HaMikdash, connecting of Klal Yisrael to the Avodas HaMikdash, and who are responsible for teaching the Torah. And now we refer to one of the greatest kings of Klal Yisrael, Yeshua HaMelech. And in previous years we've described the story that is found in the Nevi'im, in Melachim, and that is described in this Payet. Yeshua HaMelech was a king that rose to power at a very young age and seems to have been relatively unlettered in Torah. And the Payet, the king, told the story of the Sefer Torah that was found, and it was found open to the pasuk, the end of the king, one of the psuk. And as a result, and Yeshua HaMelech did his research and understood it, and as a result began probably the first and the most successful Tshuva movement of Klal Yisrael. And that's why when Yeshua HaMelech died, there was one of the greatest tzaros of Klal Yisrael. Yeshua Baruch Hu postponed the Beis HaMikdash and the Zechus, the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and the Zechus of Yeshua HaMelech. Yeshua HaMelech had removed almost all the Avodah Zarah from Klal Yisrael, as we discussed in previous years, and therefore Yeshua HaMelech thought that he had reached times that Yeshua Baruch Hu had promised, and therefore, because he thought that it was a time when there was absolute peace, no army would ever come through Eretz Yisrael, he refused entry to the Egyptian army on their way to fight the Syrian army. The Navi told him that he had not reached the time, that there were people still serving the Avodah Zarah, that he should relent, and had a moment of a great confidence in his own accomplishments, did not listen to the Navi, and at the end of that battle, when Yeshua HaMelech was killed, he was killed and he died with the word Tzadik Hashem Ki Marisi Fiyu, with saying Tzidak Adin, that he fully accepted that his death is a result of not listening to the Navi.
Rashi,
that this became a practice, maybe even a Drabbanan Dikadin, that whenever we say kinos, to begin or to include a kino for Yeshua Melech. And perhaps the understanding of why Chazal would say that the kino for Yeshua Melech should always be part of kinos is because it, that there are times when the Baruch Hu was prepared to bring us the most of the Shia, and we're not ready for it. And Yeshua Melech seems to be one of those times, because Yirmiyahu refers to him as the Mashiach Hashem. So on a simple level, it means the one that was sent as a Kohen Mashiach. But it would seem that Yirmiyahu was saying that this that would have forever provided for us the Beis HaMikdash. And there's a reference to this in the end of the second paragraph. Lo'oid lo'yisholach yodei menachor. Sholach Yodei Menachor is a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Sholach Yodei Menachor is the idea that we refer to, Chazal say it refers to Koresh. Sholach Yodei Menachor is the chosan, is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the chosan comes to the Kala, but the Kala doesn't get up to open the door for the chosan. So Sholach Yodei Menachor, he retracts his hand from the handle. And Chazal say, but it could also be read, Sholach Yodei Menachor, he sent his hand out through the handle. And Gemara even says, Medrash says, that the chor handles at that time were inserts, were dug into the there were rings that were in a hollowing of the door. And because he had a hollowing, it became damp and dirty and gathered dirt and gathered insects. So when people would put their hands on the handle, often they would jump back because there was all of a sudden move. So it wasn't a pleasant place. So Chazal say, Sholach Yodei Menachor. The pshat is the Kadosh Baruch Hu was willing to put his hand into a moldy and dirty place in order to open the door, in order to bring the Moshe Mashiach. Sholach Yodei Menachor. He retracted his hand in that moment. Chazal say, it goes both ways. Sholach Yodei Kadosh Baruch Hu retracted his hand, but there'll be times when Sholach Yodei Kadosh Baruch Hu sends us opportunities for Mashiach Menachor to the most unlikely places. Perish is an unlikely person to build the second Beis HaMikdash. But that's what Yirmiyahu is catching in this with his kinyan Yeshua Melech. Yeshua Melech was a time when the Kadosh Baruch Hu was Sholach Yodei Menachor, Kadosh Baruch Hu was willing to send us a person like Yeshua Melech, even though it was at a time when Kali Yisrael was very stuck in Avodah Zarah, he sent us Yeshua Melech, and it was a time of Sholach Yodei Menachor when Kadosh Baruch Hu retracted his hand. And that's what Rashi is pointing out, that very, very often when Kali Yisrael suffers terribly, they are in response to moments when Kadosh Baruch Hu was willing to bring us the voice of Mashiach. And because that we were ready for it, it became a very difficult time for Klal Yisrael. Yeshua Melech may have been one of those times. And remembering that we often miss opportunities has to be part of every time when Klal Yisrael suffers. And that's what Rashi means. That it should be part of every set of kings. Eichel ikonu ve'ilav v'shmei nishon eichel yuk v'shmei ilav v'leichol v'chol v'chol v'olav v'yuzke v'yisigu v'olav nam v'chol malche Yisrael shekomu l'kro l'kom k'mo v'yivo yisadim v'yidu v'chet v'chol v'yidu shekomu v'chol 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 Thank you.
Some phrase of what am I doing here? Mal Yedidi Po, what's happening over here? And the Kadosh Baruch Hu is clear. The tribute to Kadosh Baruch Hu was first saying Vatom Malifo. If Klal Yisrael can be Machmit Hashav, Klal Yisrael can let the moment go. There could be a Shir HaMelech, and there were those of us who were not ready for the Yimos of Mashiach. Kadosh Baruch Hu says Malifo, what? Do I really have a place in this world? Do I really have the intimate time with Klal Yisrael? Do I really have the Vigan Vasli Beses if Klal Yisrael is willing to let it go from time to time? And Mal Yedidi for Avraham Avinu comes and tries to build upon Klal Yisrael. He says, Avraham Avinu, do you really have a place in this world? And then later on, the Talir says, Vaye Ivoy Moshav, that where is the place that you so much wanted to be there? Ultimately, the Goyim say, the next paragraph, the Kadosh Baruch Hu really have the Jewish people, and the Ein Od Novi V'Namto Ein Po, there's a reference to a Medrash of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If I don't have a place here, there's no place for me having him here. And the Namta Leinosav and Boyoy Foy. And that's the Kadosh Baruch Hu again saying that I won't remember the time when I said that I'll be in this place. To be the next paragraph, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says I'm like a person who stays in a hotel and I don't really belong here. So this is again gets the heart, the putting of tip. Supposed to have a view of Vesek, supposed to have a place. It's supposed to be, gave us. People that deserve to have that close relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Wait, that's a true dimension. He is superior to the rush to the land, the mathematic, the holy, the shaykhani, the mamta, the son of the heirs, the chedas, the eighth life. That's
of Tumas. And so when he's like a team of boys, he's like, go, my son, may I hold up the boy. Only she wants to have money, let's say, but I'll buy you, hold the boy. No more than that, so who am I, and no who may he's like a son, he was so am I, he was a boy, she boy. Only she wants to have a man, they go, but so he says, she has no boy, and then a boy. No more than that, so who boy is again, boy, she wants to have a man, he's like,
next kina that we'll say is kina yud gimel. Eikli oimer kores lo bepesach. We point out, no, yud dalet. Eicho asher kevar oso. And we'll see how that, how this order, as we've done in the previous years, is very gratified in the recent Torah to go, in Tanchum Kohn has an article there. And one of my colleagues at Yeshiva, Ochanan Adler, has an article, and I believe he pointed out the roadmap that we have. So I was happy that somebody else noticed that the Kinos is a better, more accurate Seder to the Kinos. So we're looking at Kina Yud Dalet, Eicha Asher Kvar Oso. I'm just going to share one idea that the Kina describes Hayanayim Mizrach, Bein Nebsarim. The one that Rom Avinu, Oyre Kizarach, is like the Shan from the Bris, where all Arba Malchios, and the Kizbalchu, yes, Kizbalchu showed him the various Golias they were going to have, the Yachus Inatzel Zera, and he showed him that, that the Vayar Hishlachas Nizra, and he saw that the Klimita should be stolen from us and our crown be thrown down. So all of the upcoming Golias, he tried to Tzidek Midas Adin Kozra, and he actually understood why we had to have upcoming Golias. The Piyutin refers momentarily to Yitzchak, that his sacrifice was something that would also shape Kozra later on. It refers briefly to Yaakov Avinu, that he also saw the Golos through the Chalom Malachim Olam Yordim. But apparently one of our Avos who saw the Goliath clearly and so that was Avraham Avinu. So it reminded me of a comment that Rav Shimon Shkop says helps us appreciate some of our davening. Torah says that when Avraham Avinu got his bracha, Be'eschol and Goygono, that's Avraham. When it says Varecha, that's Yitzchak. When it says Vagad lo Shemecha, that's Elekei Yaakov. As we refer to, when we open up our Shemona Esrei, we refer to the unique relationships that Kadosh Baruch Hu has had with the Ovis. But then the Medrash says, but we are Messiah Mogen Avraham. When it comes to the end of the bracha, we only mention Avraham Avinu. So Shimon Shkop suggested, because Avraham Avinu was the one who initiated the connection between the Ribbono Shel Olam and this world. Avraham Avinu was the one who was makarv other people, more so Yitzchak, great pride with his ultimate gevura to dedicate himself to the Shvarchu entirely. Yaakov's great pride was he was able to keep the nation together. But Avraham Avinu was the one that was Heir Orim Mizrach. So, the Rav Shimon is saying that we're beside with Avraham Avinu. Ultimately, it's the Koyach of Avraham Avinu which will bring us back to Eretz Yisrael. Ultimately, it's the Koyach of Klal Yisrael to be Mekarev, to bring back people, the Kol Tzvutza, so every Klal Yisrael is spread. So perhaps that's why Elozer Kalir finds that of all the Yovos, the one that gives us the greatest strength and the one that has the greatest insight in all of our Golias is the same one that whose Koyach and whose teachings will be the one that will empower us to bring Klal Yisrael back.
Thank you.
and if she will embrace him, Pirochu, go on the Rizbov, but he's Akku,
Yericho, the one who just focus. This year I'd like to suggest an idea about the Kol. Chazal say that all the Nevi'im were misnavi the Kol, except for Moshe Rabbeinu, who was misnavi, who was dead. The idea, once it was from Yechna, ideas in their own words. So Kol represents that there is a less precision, and that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu intended. So I was thinking that refers to the idea we discussed a few moments ago. There were many nevuos that describe times when Mashiach had come. There are many ramazim. Throughout the generations, people try sometimes to figure out. There's a famous idea of the Pnei Yeshua. Yeshua says that Bezos is the Gematri of Tach. Tach was the year of the Kolonitsky pogroms, Tach v'Tach. So Pnei Yeshua says that Bezos, when the Rabbonu Shel Olam had set aside that, but since we weren't ready for it, it became a very difficult time for Klal Yisrael. The Ritvot writes, the Rebbe Zora, that there are various Ramazim that Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us when Mashiach could come. In each of those times, Mashiach could come if we were ready for it. So the Eiko could be, where is the Nevuah of Kol? Where is the Nevuah that is not precise, didn't tell us explicitly and articulately exactly when Mashiach is going to come? But there are many Nevuahs of Kol. There are many Nevuahs when Mashiach could have come. There are many opportunities when Mashiach will present themselves to us in the future. And the Baruch Hu should give us the insight and the strength to be aware of those opportunities. Nimcha and Koi, Peter Bezecha, the Ain Atta to Koru, the Felix Rezecha, Yesh and Abko, the Sain Rezecha, Eke, Atocha, the Kutin, the Kutin, the Sois, E. Koi, Yerimer, Koi, Yuchash, Ois, and Atta, the Kach, the Irmelea, Tishuis, Yerimelechel, and Mashuis,
explained to us
where we'll find the sources of redemption, the sources of Geula. The children have it. So that's where it's most noticeable. And it may be most present. And they'd be willing to throw themselves overboard when the children has every Jew has. It's the neshama. The Baruch Hu was saying, which Kalir is pointing out to us, that even at the time when it's also tzor b'finim, but there is a point and a place every Jew that from which the Gul has to begin to come. So Choshev also said, Shalach Harba, the Lord of Pasuk was named, Nachal Seir, the Gis Time, Lechem upon him, the Gis the first of Malish, they call him, the Yisraim, Gil, Bogim, Vodim, the Dali, Kosh, the Bar, the Dam, the Bay, the Dom, the Ishkir, Chitz, the Midom, the Yotza, the Nabarish, the Him, the Dom, the Lagois, the Amis Dom, the Dota, the Yoda, the Mubel, the Gaber, the Tzvay, the Chomo, the Bon Gomer, the Betechi, the Yomitz, the Tabor,
Sorry.
is like says the goyim with chutzim. Yachem moiz when you nasa emi lach bishi mi goyim al nisay mer bishi mitzvah mishol nafshi ringo lucham ein nag vitzchi mekad kol ki yom al tzivochi vo emra vatzim vitzchi mitzvah mishol shtoch hashimchem vishpotchem vizimoy seichem vishpotchem חלופות מכל מיני ודי זוכרונים ודי זונח ולולדולי וקשיח וסעב ודוי אם ושיח זוכי תסגר מסושו סוחוס וכן היו חולו חולי כי וכן פרץ נסיבי זו יסוע של הלימי יביסים לזרוק ובכל מידי ומצוח על מסיר כי מאב נסעתי זה מייך עם חור וכן חוז כי לא מנחקו מנדו צבור כי מנדסטרים נזום מנדו חזי הדוי נקל יסעב נחוש קויון מקויס יסויקים חדוש ומקויים חוש שחן זוי וגישי אישי קרקעי ולגש אישי חלקי דרי כי לא מנפשי ועוד הם מסמונים מלגדור פרמץ וזה חוכס קושת בוס וחרץ ושימו אישי אני אסו אורץ ובוס וטוב ובנות וקום ולוי נעשה נוחי מקוי בטוב לפיום סוב ותיבו אישי ופי קצת אום ובחולוי ומלאי שם שבתי מפיצר שחייתי ומכיר לכי אוי מגנו יום כחמס בקמת וישינו שמנו בארץ עציר לאורץ כל כמות המילה וכלם ותורך עשר חסר כולם כי לא יזנח לי אלו כלי וכמעט כי בינלו תומי אלו ועודי כמו כמו גבי מי